Mr. Brutal Brunch.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. Yeah, you let the music keep playing, Mr. Dumb Shit. Yo, tell me whose time it is now. Yeah, just kicking it up here. It's our time.
Yo, here comes trouble.
Our time now.
X-Pac.
That was
I'm
welcome to Brutal Brunch.
Hanson's energy drink all over myself.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM streaming live on WMFO.org. We are back on Sundays. Thank you, Darnley, and Sounds of Praise for the great welcome back here.
Most
good to be back.
Man in radio.
Glad to have you. And that was our special intro for the day. That was my time. The best Triple H theme, in my opinion.
No. Incorrect. I'm sorry. Time to play the game by...
Now get Motorhead out of
Motorhead.
Here.
Motorhead.
So both
especially
vocalists...
Especially because when he forgets all the lyrics and just goes... Motorhead.
Yes, actually, so a couple things. Both vocalists...
By Darnley and Prozet.
Both vocalists for Triple H's two main theme songs have now passed away.
Yeah.
And both of them were pretty much almost booed out of the arena for terrible live performances.
Triple H's first theme song, which is like, not Pomp and Circumstance, but it's like the harpsichord. It's like... That guy's probably dead too.
So, yes, Lemmy from Motorhead is no longer with us. And on June 12th, 2016, Chris Warren, who is well known for the vocals for that song, My Time, for the DX theme song.
Yes.
And
I would refer to him as not Zach De La Roca.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, Chris Warren was his name. He performed at WrestleMania 14, I want to believe, live. Yep. He did America the Beautiful and Star Spangled Banner. The crowd booed it because they thought it was disrespectful.
Why?
The way he performed it. Imagine, basically... Today, like Jimi Hendrix would have been booed today for his performance at the
National
Anthem.
You know what? You're right. I think you're right, actually. I usually kind of want to fight you on those kind of things, but you're probably right. Everyone's an idiot now.
Yep. And so that their performance was cut out of WrestleMania from the WWE Network.
Julius Caesar in the park.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I don't understand plays.
Unbelievable. But yeah, so the WWE Network, if you watch WrestleMania 14, you can see them do the DX theme live, but you can't see them do America the Beautiful Star Spangled Banner. They got Benoit out of there. We played that song because a year ago, this past week, Chris Warren passed away at the age of, I want to say, 46 years old. Died suddenly.
That's terrible, yeah.
And later, his band would go on to perform with TNA after moving on from WWE.
But, what theme did they perform? Yeah. Black Rain?
Unfortunately, I don't think they did that one. They did a couple pay-per-view themes up through like 2008. So there you go. That's our big entrance back into Sundays.
It feels good to be back.
It is. It is good to be back here.
It's more relaxing.
Yes, that's true. And so we're gonna be rest of the summer maybe experimenting with a few new things on the show.
Yeah,
we will still be playing local Massachusetts metal music.
Yeah,
new stuff. But if you've been listening the past few weeks between the Soundgarden tributes, we played Kitty, we played a lot of The Clash. It's no longer going to be a soul focus. We're going to open the playlist up a little bit more.
Open it up.
Maybe look to going back to 2 hours in the fall.
More wrestling.
I think there should be more wrestling and more new metal. we have a request to get to today. As well as, do you have anything else you want to get to before we get back into the songs?
Are we going
to
check back in as to what's going on, how we're doing, our lifestyles?
Yeah, you can tell me right now. How are you doing?
Not bad. I was cleaning out my parents'... So, like, over 30-plus years of living in the same house, apparently just accumulate so much stuff. So I was over there yesterday cleaning out their basement, and I bought those junkster bags. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a dumpster bag, and then you call the guy.
We recently had one of those, yeah.
It's not a bad idea. I think I actually need an actual dumpster for the amount of stuff that's in there, though, because I filled them both up pretty quickly. But it's just brutal. I did get to buy a sledgehammer, though, which is I had to break literally one thing. There's one thing in there that I'm like, gonna have to break that down. Probably gonna buy a sledgehammer. Bought a sledgehammer and just smashed the crap out of it in the driveway. So that was a good time.
Nice. Similar to when you destroyed your bed frame.
I did get destroyed my bed frame when I moved out of Cambridge. It's a good time. You should get a sledgehammer. You should break something.
Just like Triple H.
I was saying one of my startup ideas for my startup culture idea is there's places, I think they're in Texas. There's probably one in New York because everything's in New York. But, it's like, you know, like the escape room thing?
Yes.
So
there's one in the Square One Mall, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
That's okay. I'll go to that. I went to one in Boston. It's actually fun. But like the idea is you pay a certain amount of money. You stock the room with junk. You like get suited up in like a painter's suit, you know, and like goggles and a helmet. And then you just like get to like smash everything in the room for like an hour or whatever. That seems awesome.
Just let your aggression out?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think I will be a millionaire if I come up with that idea.
Excellent.
If I can follow through on this idea. So if anyone has any junk.
So step one, collect junk.
Yeah.
Step two, step three, become a millionaire.
Get junk. Step two, millionaire.
Excellent. Well, yeah, so be on the lookout for Matt's entrepreneurial.
Yeah, check it out.
Idea. Maybe you can have a weekly feature, your new business idea.
I'll be so rich, I won't be on this show.
Yeah, you can buy us a dial a frequency on the FM dial.
That's right.
Yeah, I have nothing like that to report.
There you go.
So,
what a dork.
Pretty much. Well, there's some big wrestling shows you're gonna miss out on next weekend.
Yeah, I'm going on a vacation.
We may talk about the cards. Yeah, this guy going to Maine, the worst state in the union.
Yeah, I guess. I'm going to York though. Obviously, the Animal Kingdom.
Sounds good.
It's gonna be a good time.
Gotta miss out on the. On the Hit Squad.
I'm sad about missing out on the Hit Squad in Melrose and Lowell. That looks like
Ring of Honor,
it's a good arena in Lowell. The
Songs. So, we'll probably talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. Now, let's play some music. So, again, this next track is not a local song. It is a metal song, though. Metal band. And I have a little story. I may have told you about this with the lead singer. So, as you probably know, especially if you've been through Boston, it is Pride Month. And we'll play another song for Pride Month next week, an even more brutal song.
Whoa.
But anyway, this the band Life of Agony, fronted by Mina Caputo, formerly went by Keith Caputo, is one of...
Related to Teresa Caputo. No, I'm just kidding.
That would be great.
That'd be awful. I don't like that lady.
So she is probably, after Lara Jean Grace, the most visible transgendered singer and music.
Okay.
And I actually saw her open up for Lara Jean Grace when Lara Jean Grace did her first like solo acoustic tour. She played with Franz Nicolai and Mina Caputo. And my friend and I went and we had no idea. And seeing Mina like do her solo thing and like how reserved she was, you would have no idea that she fronts this band, Life of Agony. And they've been around forever, over 20 years. So anyway, we're going to play the latest single from these guys. They kind of dissolved and reunited a couple times, and now they reformed again and came out with a new album that came out earlier this year called A Place Where There's No More Pain, and we will play the title track. So this is our little song for Pride Month. This is Life of Agony with A Place Where There's No More Pain. And then after that, we got new local music. We got new stuff from Burnham Wood and As Aphrodite Fell that we will get to. We have This Week in Metal History, concert calendar.
It's a good one.
And some more good stuff to get to, so stay tuned. Brutal Brunch back on Sundays, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. Here is Life of Agony.
Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the latest from As Aphrodite Fell, The World That Never Was.
It's good.
Off their upcoming album, Morse Hollow, coming out later this year. And before that, we had Malingering from the band Iron Gag off the upcoming album of the same name, also coming out shortly in the future. And we kicked off that set with Life of Agony, A Place Where There's No More Pain, also the title track off their latest album. And we played that one for Pride Week. We got one more track next week for Pride Week. If you listen to the band, you would have no idea that they're former lead singer.
Funnily enough, it's by Brujeria, and they're going to do a mock execution of the president.
That would be fun.
It's not. Maybe it is. Maybe I just guessed it correctly.
You don't know. You don't know. You'll have to stay tuned in. All right, let's do this.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
Welcome to Metal History This Week. June 11th through June 17th. Important to note before I start out is that I want to speak about an arcade release.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to do that. Road Blasters comes out for the Atari in 1987. It's hard to say like when an arcade game comes out because they build them and they ship them. So it's kind of like, oh, maybe they're here in Arizona, but they're not here in California. Anyway, if you like power metal and stuff, you probably also like video game music.
You don't have to like power metal to like video game music.
No.
Speaking.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure? Sick. June 12th, 85, Megadeth releases the album Killing Is My Business, and business is good! I can't believe that Megadeth beat every other band to the punch by naming their album this. Like, if you're a metal band and you didn't name an album this or your band this, then you failed 30 years ago. So. It's a good album. Cryptic Writings also comes out, I think, in the same year, but I'm not going to put two Megadeths on this list. June 13th, 95, Fear Factory releases the album Demanufacture. Kind of like thrash / industrial at this point for your boys, Fear Factory.
What year was this?
95. Here's what I wanted to talk about. June 4th, 82, Metal Blade Records releases the album Metal Massacre Volume 1, which is a compilation of like best metal tracks that they had kind of collected. So it was kind of important to get on this album because it would get you exposure and then you'd get more mainstream. So importantly, like Slayer and Metallica and what else do I get? Armored Saint had tracks that were on these like compilation albums. So the first album has Hit the Lights for Metallica, which is like obviously going to be the biggest hit because it's Metallica. But what I found on there, which I really enjoyed, was this weird band, Sirith Ungol, who's like a Californian, I guess it would be like, at the time, it would just be like metal, right? Because it's 85.
Mm-hmm.
82. So it's now we call it doom or sludge, and it sounds amazing. So this is Sirith Ungol with Death of the Sun off the first Metal Massacre. They made the albums through like 2000, and like took a break, and then like came back, I think, a couple years ago, maybe 2012. So this is Sirith Ungol. Like, listen how good this is.
Did it work for them? Did they become mainstream and popular?
These guys?
Yeah.
No. But they had a long career before this. Like, okay. So, like, on this album, Metallica was brand new, and these guys have been doing it since, like, the 70s.
Okay.
Their album cover is amazing. It's like a knight, like a flowing red cape, and he's fighting a lich. I mean, it's basically a lich king album cover. I really like this, though. Like, it's just fun to find this band.
It's not shocking.
While this is playing, I want to say June 10th, 1990, our boys... Or the rap group Two Live Crew are arrested and charged with obscenity after performance in a Hollywood, Florida nightclub. Unsurprisingly, those songs are filthy. But is it obscenity? No, it is not. It is art. June 9th, 94, most importantly, Lisa Left Eye Lopez in a domestic dispute with her partner, and Atlanta Falcon Andre Rison sets fire to his shoes, ultimately burning down their entire Atlanta mansion in what I can only describe as a story that I tell everyone anytime I hear a TLC song.
Pretty brutal.
It's the most brutal thing you could ever do is like, hey, I heard you were cheating on me. Guess what? I burned our entire mansion down. Lisa Left Eye Lopez is metal as hell. I almost want to skip forward so you can hear her rapping. Like weird Scooby Dooby rapping. Come on. Give me. It's hard to find.
There's an explosion in the background.
There it is. This like awful rap that she did, and like you have to like it because it's TLC, but like it sucks. June 5th to 16th, 1996, the first Tibetan Freedom Concerts, organized by the Beastie Boys and the Milarepa Fund, happens. The idea was a Live Aid style concert for Tibet that the Beastie Boys came up with during the 94 Lollapalooza tour. Tons of bands.
So when they became the reformed Beastie Boys.
The reformed Beastie Boys. The enlightened Beastie Boys. Yeah, when they were like, we played songs about, like, drunkenness and getting laid, but now we're singing about Tibet. We just, whatever, fine. A lot of different bands at the show, obviously. I think Rage was there. There was, for this audience, that like, but, like, every 90s band you could think of was there, including Yoko Ono. Here's Yoko Ono screaming into a microphone. So, you went to the show, you wanted to see the Beastie Boys or, like, No Doubt or whatever, and then Yoko Ono is still there. My distaste for the Beatles has made me a huge fan of Yoko Ono. Matt. Wait, how did I do this? I did this wrong. 1 second.
I thought No Shelter was it, but there's another Rage song that I believe was for that tribute.
I mean, it was 96, so it could be. More importantly, most importantly, June 5th, 2001, Drowning Pool releases the album Sinner with Bodies. What?
This is still unironically one of my favorite albums of all time.
You know what? I was thinking about that too, and like this, it's easy to lampoon this song and the style and a lot of things about Drowning Pool.
Especially because now they have a new singer all about like the troops now. Like one of those butt rock bands that like sings about America. This album is awesome.
This album's awesome. This is a good song. It's good to talk to you about this. I'm like, you know, is this cheesy? Is this dumb? Or is this good?
It's both. It's both. One of the songs on the mythical post 9/11.
Yeah, it was banned. Blacklist. I was going to say, this was banned. Along with a bunch of other weird songs. Like, this was like, well, it's an aggressive song, and it's like about bodies. So, death, I guess. But like, where's these songs like, I can't even remember. Like, song like weird like Lionel Richie songs were banned.
They were some really strange songs. We've talked about those before. You can bring it up again. The title track is amazing.
Sinner.
What was the second single?
I don't know.
I don't care about anyone else but me. Pity me.
You got it. June 13th, 2002.
Just waiting for what happened next.
Shrevel Talk, Unblack Metal releases their album, The War That Plagues the Lands. Obviously, Unblack meaning like Christian rock kind of. It's like a good album though. It's not overly corny. This is the Falcon's Flight by Slevichok.
Works for me.
June 16, 2008, Cult of Luna releases the album Eternal Kingdom. It's good. While we're down here, Which is to say that my boys...
Are you a fan of their Julie Christmas album from last year?
Yes. I don't think I heard it. Diabolical Figures, Graveworm, June 16th, 2009. It's four tracks, because it's symphonic black metal, so each track has to be 11 minutes long. This is, it's a lot. It's good. That's what I like.
It's our aesthetic.
I like to start an album and be like, wow, I'm overwhelmed by the amount of things that are happening right now.
Tear Away, by the way, is the single, the Drowning Pool single.
Tear Away? Maybe we'll play that while you're reading the concert calendar. Lastly, our boys, June 16th, 89, Skid Row releases the album, or releases the single, 18 in Life, which is their biggest hit, even though I think Youth Gone Wild is a better song. I feel this. I feel Sebastian Bach just like writhing around in a prison cell. What is he about? And that's going to do it for this week in Metal History. Thank you.
Thank you. Now your concert calendar for the week. Songs you can see across the state. Metal shows starting tonight at Patterson Creations. We haven't mentioned them before. At Alabaro, you can see False Images, Dope Ghost, Eyes of Lilith, Damsels, and No Eye Has Seen. Tuesday the 20th at once, it's the Mike Oliver Benefit and Appreciation Party, featuring Scissor Fight, Worshipper, The Humanoids, Jesus, and Test Meat. Wednesday at Bright Music Hall, it is the Birthday Massacre playing with Army of the Universe and Sumo Psycho. Thursday night at O'Brien's Pub, it's Hollow Leg, Bedroom Rehab Corporation, Holy Filth, and Cazador. Arousal Smell Thursday with Kill, Mardivore, Pucharist, and Psycho. On Friday the 23rd at the Palladium, you can see Miss May I with Upon the Burning Body, Kubicon, Currents, and Barbarian. Once has Dead Rabbits with Northern Ghost and Sets of Stun. 13th floor Music Lounge has Vacant Eyes, Sorrow Seed, Greylock, and Cazador again. And Saturday, June 24th, Bright Music Hall, it's Gorguts with Bacterial Husk, Garroted, and Exist. That is your concert calendar for the week.
Very good. Very good.
Gonna drive down from Maine to see
I'm gonna
Gorguts.
Drive down from Maine, even then. I'm gonna drive by you guys in Lowell and be like, not watching wrestling. Although I really screwed up because I just can't manage a calendar anymore.
It's quite ironic.
It's awful.
All right, would you like to take it back over now?
I can, and I can play it right off of this.
Sounds good.
Black metal song of the week this week is...
Second time we played these guys.
The second time we played these guys.
And where are they from?
Norway. We are going to get into some black and roll because the weather is nice, and it's like, you know... Like, the winter time is good for, like, black metal.
Like the Mayhem,
Yeah, Mayhem was like... Blah, 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 blah. But it's feeling good outside. Weather's nice. Like, I want, like, more of a bouncier vibe
get up
to
and
my
dance.
Music. Get up and dance, too. With that being said, here's Kevil Tark with Brunbrenn. I'm pronouncing that wrong, I'm sure. Which means Burned Bridges. Black metal song of the week. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was the latest from Burnham Wood called Triumph of Death. Currently off a single. They have an up album called Wicked Worlds coming out this summer.
Very good.
And before that, we had Matt's Black Metal Song of the Week, Gorilla Tech.
Wasn't that fun?
Ron Bren from Mare.
Did you want to, like, work on a car?
That was quite exciting. But it's a good band. That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
And now we have a lot to talk about. What should we start with? Should we start with all the wrestling you're going to miss?
Wrestling I'm going to miss.
So, yes.
I'm going on vacation in beautiful York, Maine with my wonderful girlfriend. We're going to look at animals, but of course I forgot that I was doing that and therefore had purchased two wrestling tickets to go see shows.
So Friday night is Best in the World pay-per-view, Ring of Honor in Lowell, Massachusetts, the beautiful Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's going to be tight.
And the following day is a doubleheader at Memorial Hall in the beautiful Melrose, Massachusetts.
I know. That's the one I'm really actually more mad at because it's so easy to just walk out of my house and be at the Memorial Hall.
You have Beyond Wrestling followed by Evolve Wrestling. So this is what you're going to miss Friday night at Ring of Honor. Main event, Christopher Daniels versus Cody Rhodes for the Ring of Honor World Championship.
Christopher Daniels is going to, like, impale himself on a spike or something.
TV Championship is Kushida versus Marty Skrull.
Skrull or Skrull?
Skrull.
Skrull?
U before the R. Then you have the Tag Team Championship match, which you're amped about, because it is the Young Bucks versus War Machine.
War Machine. War Machine's been tearing up in Japan. They the people love him.
They won. Didn't they just win the IW?
The Young...
What do you call it? IGPW?
Yeah, whatever the, like, younger IGP. Guys. But, like, yeah.
Yep.
If there's one thing Japanese wrestling fans like, it's fat, huge American dudes.
Albert, man, he became
a
celebrity.
They love them. They love Elgin. It's like, it's just Japan, because that's where all the big boy wrestlers go.
The Ring of Honor six-man tag team championship, which I think is dumb to have. But anyway.
It's just for the... It should be called, like, the trios, right? Like, just Mexican stuff.
Right. But you're going to be missing Bully Ray and the Briscoes versus Dalton Castle and the Boys.
The Boys can wrestle?
Mm-hmm. Silas Young versus Jay Lethal.
Ah.
Hangman Adam Page versus Frankie Kazarian. The Kingdom versus Ultimo Guerrero and El Terrible. And losing team must disband. It is the Rebellion. Kenny King, Rhett Titus, Caprice Coleman, and Shane Taylor versus Search and Destroy, which is Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, Jay White, and Jonathan Gresham. Your boy, Jonathan Gresham.
There's no way Search and Destroy is going to lose.
And it will also... they changed some stuff. Interesting. I thought they had a...
I think it's odd there's no women on those Ring of Honor shows.
It says there is a woman from Japan. She's an American wrestler, but also making it big in Japan currently. I believe she's going to fight, but not listed on the official card as of now. And then the next day, Beyond Wrestling, main event, Keith Lee versus Matthew Riddle.
Yeah, that I'm mad about because Keith Lee, another guy, I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm. There he is here.
A huge monster. Boy. And he just flips people.
EY... FBO taking time off of TNA to come fight the Carnies.
Thank God.
Doom Patrol versus the Beaver Boys.
Great.
American Destroyers, which is your boy Donovan Dijak.
Yep.
And Mikey Webb versus Gentleman's Club, Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor.
Yeah, that'll be amazing.
AR Fox versus Brandon Watts, a rematch from what we saw in Somerville.
That sounds good also.
The Hit Squad versus Massage Envy.
Damn it.
Massage Envy, get it?
I know, Massage Envy is very funny. The Hit Squad is going to go over no matter what because... They know that Melrose loves the Hit Squad.
Yeah, I think they just chill in Memorial Hall until there's an event there.
Is it back-to-back with Evolve again, or is there an Evolve show at night?
Okay. Yep. Janelle P will be fighting.
Ooh.
And what was the other match? Just announced, it's not on here yet. It was, now I'm going to forget.
Badass Billy Gunn versus...
Oh, no. JT Dunn is coming back, and he's fighting AC Romero.
That sounds good. Yeah, it sounds like two great shows, honestly. I'm very upset that I'm missing it.
Tabor Nocta Team is fighting again.
Boo! Those guys were great, though.
Wheeler Yuta is fighting.
Those guys were unbelievably strong.
Shayna Baszler will be there.
Oh, the Queen of Spades.
Mm-hmm. And many, many more. Chuck O'Neill will be there as well. Because I believe Chuck O'Neill and
Cold Steel Chuck
Matthew
O'Neill.
Riddle invited her to come on the show.
That's a good idea.
So, the whole MMA connection.
I think our boy Norbit is, like, friends with Chuck O'Neill or something. I feel like they're, like, related somehow.
That's
pretty
awesome.
I wouldn't put it past them. They're Irish. They look the same. They're probably related.
Both love wrestling.
They love wrestling.
So, that's what you'll be missing out on.
I'll be missing out. I'll be in York's Wild Animal Kingdom, and I'm going to go buy some candy, and then I'll probably just go to the beach.
So, there you go.
The Hit Squad.
In other news, and some non-wrestling news, your boy Gene Simmons
is an a-hole. Anytime that
I'm like...
Why don't
you summarize what's going on?
First of all, as you know, Gene Simmons will monetize anything. So anytime, here's why it's personally damaging to me and why it's important. It's like anytime I listen to some amount of Kiss, like when I do the metal history, I'm like, you know what, this is fine. Divorced from like the weird, and like everything is commercial to a certain extent. I mean, I would assume bands want to sell their stuff to get heard. But like, anytime I kind of divorce myself from the kind of the gross parts of Kiss and be like, I actually like this. Like, I like how this sounds. I like this vocals, whatever. Gene Simmons just does something gross. I'm like, I hate you. Like, I hate you. He's trying to copyright the like devil horn
right.
symbol.
Would you explain the history of on the show before?
Which is an Italian curse. Mm-hmm. It's like a cuckold curse. Or it would be used in like household spells. Like, not witchcraft, but like your like folklore, old wives' tale stuff. Like, do this with the eggs, and then you do this, and then gets rid of your headache, and you make the devil horn symbol. And so Dio... The mm-hmm. story is Ronnie James Dio is Italian, and that he saw his grandmother doing that, and he's like, it's pretty awesome. And so, like, instead of doing the peace sign at concerts, because he's like, that actually doesn't make any sense with what I'm singing, I'll do this, and it's like the devil horn. And then he invented the devil horn, as far as I'm concerned. And so Gene Simmons is saying he's trying to copyright the devil horn, but with the thumb out, which to me is like the mahalo. Isn't that like the the like hang loose?
Yeah.
Like, whatever that is. Whatever. He's a dirtbag, and you can't, as a practical matter, copyright a hand signal. It's also already in the American Sign Language Dictionary, so you can't copyright it, so you can't do it. So anyway, Gene Simmons is a turd.
Yeah, I do not enjoy him. I do not enjoy, because the only time Kiss has ever entertained me was in Role Models. And it's because they weren't actually in
it. Some Kiss songs that are good, but sorry.
It's fine. that's not brutal at all.
No.
Let's talk about some current events. So we mentioned at the beginning of the show, but yeah. Shakespeare.
Yes. They're doing Shakespeare in the Park. And it's like...
Julius Caesar.
And so at the end of Julius Caesar...
If you read Julius Caesar in high school, the moral of the story is don't solve problems with violence. Don't assassinate people.
No.
Because nothing good will happen.
Nothing good happens at the end. But they kill Julius Caesar. But so the play, the twist is it's modern, it's president... And
which they've done for years, including featuring George W. Bush and Barack Obama.
Really? It makes sense.
Which maintained all its corporate sponsorships.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Honestly, I don't pay attention to Shakespeare because I'm not a dork. But
wow, you come in blasting your power metal and Kiss, and then you hate on Shakespeare. Wow.
I'm not a nerd.
Wow.
But yeah, so whatever.
Your video game music.
They're doing Shakespeare in the Park. And obviously then carrying this tradition now. Mm-hmm. The president looks like Trump, just a fat guy with a tie that hangs too low because he can't wear a tie. And, like, everyone is just so butthurt about it. Like, everyone's so sad.
Because they said that it condones violence and all this stuff. Well,
it's a play!
It's literally the plot of the play.
Ugh.
And the moral of the play is to not do that. But yeah. Obviously none of these people...
Well, they don't know how to read.
They don't know how to read, or they don't care because it just fits their agenda.
Much like when 50 Cent challenged Floyd Mayweather to read a one page of Harry Potter. I don't have $750,000 to give away, but I'll think of something.
And now, so there's been live protests in the audience.
Yeah, I saw that.
They've had to escort people out. And
some Breitbart guy ran on the stage and was like, you're Goebbels. You call them Goebbels.
Yeah.
Girl. Oh.
The ideology that's parallels Nazism the most now is accusing other people of being Goebbels.
Yes.
In addition, companies around the country, including in Massachusetts, and Texas are getting death threats because they're showing completely unrelated Shakespeare plays.
Just showing
any
Shakespeare.
Any Shakespeare now is saying.
It's funny because a lot of the...
Such a big feature in the Globe this weekend about
some
it.
Elements of the right are white nationalists who demand like a return to like Western civilization and then are mad about
their free speech advocates.
One of the preeminent writers of the Western civilization.
Right. And they call liberal snowflakes for being offended.
Oh my God, they're the most sensitive people ever. And why? It's stupid.
And F Delta and F Bank of America, because Delta, they both pulled their sponsorships from Shakespeare in the Park. Delta
what?
Saying that it does not match their... A play by Shakespeare does not match their values because of...
And you're saying to me...
Depicting...
They did it the
Trump.
Exact same way with the last...
They did it with Obama. Nobody cared. Everyone went along with it.
Everyone's an idiot now, man.
And Delta, yeah. Brutal Brunch will not fly Delta anymore.
Guess I'm flying
BS.
Southwest
that's
Philly.
BS. That you would pull, especially caving in to that type of people too.
Why
like,
would you cave into them? There's like 10 of them. Right. Like, what are you doing?
It's ridiculous.
Oh my God, everyone's so soft. I'm putting Brugeria. Get Brugeria on the phone. Get those guys in here.
Oh, can you imagine if people actually knew about them and thought?
I was saying that when the Kathy Griffin thing came out, I'm like, me and Matt played something on the radio that was much worse.
And it's also like their characters are Mexican drug lords.
Cartel things, yeah. Like,
people...
It's terrifying.
It would be like that, the Satanic Panic again, if Brujeria was like went on a national tour.
Like, I listened to that song when you played it a couple weeks ago, and I was like, it's kind of a lot. Like, even I was like, wow, I'm a little frightened by this, like, song, which is obviously it was a rap skit, essentially.
Right. Oh, yeah, the skit.
But
they had a ton of songs, and they had an album last year, a lot of it heavy on the immigration commentary.
Great. Those guys are great. Are they off topic? Those guys are from other bands, and then they wear the ski masks, so
I believe they are a
supergroup. You don't know who they are? It's like a supergroup? Okay.
There's a woman in the band who does not wear a mask, but most of the others do wear a mask or bandanas and stuff like that. Bandana. But yes, they are self-proclaimed Mexican drug lords.
Scary stuff.
He announced, I believe, his candidacy for president of the United States, even though he's from Mexico.
Great.
Where his mother was yelling at him off camera and all that stuff. So they... firmly, tongue planted firmly in cheek, that band. So. Also, there was a baseball game, and people made a big deal that the congressional baseball game outdrew several major league stadiums on the same night.
I say,
why would you waste your time, money to go watch that?
I don't know. Well, it's probably because of staff and family. And
I'm sure that it got quite a bump in attendance, though, due to the incident that happened at practice.
The shooting, of course.
And then they, of course, made a big display of so-called bipartisanship and unity
by
playing a baseball game.
When you're voting.
Yeah. So we'll see how long that lasts this week.
It's ridiculous.
Everything's stupid.
What?
It's so stupid.
Hey, do you still do your old-time baseball game?
Nah.
That was fun.
It was fun. Did you have a question or a story to go along with that?
No, I just wanted to... if you were still doing it, I was going to say we could promote your old-time baseball game.
We could. Oh, I would, but no. Haven't done that in a while. One last thing I wanted to get to was a horror movie. Again,
yes, I saw...
This is the feature of Matt catches up
two years ago.
Some it did come out 2 years ago, so you're getting closer to the
not
present.
Not bad. Some Kind of Hate. It was fine. I thought it would be something
totally
different.
Excellent.
Matt thought it was excellent. I guess some of the themes hit home with him more.
It's quite a trigger warning movie.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Regarding bullying, suicide, and cutting.
Suicide, cutting. There's a lot. But to me, it was kind of like, it was just like pretty people. It was like a CW movie because it was all like pretty teens.
The main camp counselor, somebody big. Hold on a sec.
The main like yoga lady.
Yeah.
But anyway, teen is bullied. It has like a horrible life. Like the first scene when he's in his house with his dad or whatever. And his dad just like smashing the TV and is like, "Ah, fix TV." I'm like, this movie's gonna be brutal. And then he goes to like, he fights a kid. He's getting bullied. He punches a kid. He goes to this camp, basically like a youth camp. And you find out there's a murder there. And then there's like a vengeful spirit and so blah, 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 blah. But I honestly thought the movie was gonna be the main character, the male character, like dies or is murdered and comes back as like a toxic Avenger type character. Proving once and for all that I do not read the descriptions on movies on Netflix and just kind of imagine them to be what they are from the title. But it was a good movie, like good effects in terms of like just your pure horror movie. His main buddy I thought reminded me a lot of our buddy Kevin Warner.
Okay.
Like when he goes to the camp, I'm like, that kid walks and kind of acts like him.
Not sure if that's the most flattering depiction.
It's not.
That's pretty good. But yes, I strongly recommend that movie.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it more than Matt.
Yeah, I don't think I liked it as much as you did. I mean, the stuff didn't really hit me as hard, obviously, but yeah, I thought some of the stuff was a little cheesy.
So, this is what I was talking about, too, by the way. You can follow along at home. So, there's the cover of Some Kind of Hate.
Yep.
And there's a cover of Avenged. It could be like just a mirror image or like flipping to the front of the girl.
I get what you're saying.
You know? And Avenged would probably be more up your alley because that's a girl who does die. And then is reincarnated by a Native American spirit.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit like Pet Sematary, and she comes to avenge.
If you say a movie to me is like The Crow, I'm going to watch it.
With Some Kind of Hate. If you want like a deep-thinking horror movie with some nice graphic bloody scenes.
Yeah, Some Kind of Hate.
Do it.
It's very quiet.
It's good. All right, so that wraps things up for this week. We'll be back next week. I'll be here solo, probably, as Matt frolics in Maine. And then...
Bring John on the show.
Yeah. We should.
Make you play a bench sevenfold. So.
All right. So until that, I will be back. Same time, same place. Back on Sundays. You can follow along on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter account is active again. Yeah. Brutal Brunch. And we'll be back. Until then, stay brutal. And we now will end with a request. Requested Iron Maiden, which made Matt very excited.
Very excited.
And this is a song, Hallowed Be Thy Name. Going out to the person who will be replacing you at the Ring of Honor show, actually. In attendance.
Oh, good.
So here you go. We are. This is Brutal Brunch. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. And here is Iron Maiden. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Stay brutal.